Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today, Michael Leppo. Michael is the president, founder, and chief participant officer of Positive Daily Fuel. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Nice to be here today.
And we're excited to have you. Before we get going here, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, as we speak today, I'm 53 and a half years old and had a very successful career in the professional world in sales and marketing and consulting and motivational speaking and done all sorts of wonderful things there. And my story for this podcast really goes back about a year in terms of looking in the mirror and discovering that I was about a 275-pound man with all sorts of illnesses and all sorts of bad stuff happening to me, and a sobering visit to the doctor at one point where told me all sorts of things that weren't good for living too long. So I literally got woken up out of my slumber, and I decided to do something about that. And here we are a year later, and I've got quite the story to tell.
So you mentioned that a trip to the doctor really changed how you view life. What were some of the things that you learned that were going on with your personal health situation?
Well, there were things he told me plus things I had going on. So I'll try to keep the list short, but it's actually kind of lengthy. A year ago, I had a severe lactose intolerance, just wreaked havoc on my system, severe heartburn, severe snoring, wasn't able to sleep in the same room as basically anybody in my family for about 2 years. I also, when I went to the doctor, my blood work showed that I was pretty darn close to being a diabetic. My blood pressure was sky high. I have hypertension. He also dropped the C word cancer, saying the way I'm going, I'm very much at risk for developing cancer. And then the final sort of piece, well, the two final pieces to the puzzle were I had injured my back playing basketball in my early 20s. And for the next 30 plus years, you know, I could be reaching for a piece of paper and my back could go out, which meant 7 days lying in a fetal position, not able to move with severe nerve pain. I had gone to a chiropractor for over 10 years and I had had also herniated disc where I had to get steroid injections in my spine. And basically the idea for me of anything that was remotely physical for the last 30 years required 6 or 7 Motrin. And then still, if it was too physical, I ended up with my back giving way, and I still couldn't move for 3 or 4 days. So I lived a very limited physical existence. I still did some exercise, but I just couldn't do too much, or I knew that my back was going to act up. And when you have that type of severe back pain, it stays with you, that memory. Especially, going to the doctor and physical rehabilitation is incredibly painful for those of you who have gone through it. And they work you really hard. And I didn't want to go through another rehab stint. That, with the combination of visiting the doctor and a few other things, really kind of opened my eyes.
Wow, Michael, that's a tremendous story. What was the turning point of your life that said, I need to take control of my health?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Going to the doctor and having him basically give you a very grim sort of quality of life analysis was a trigger. But the amazing thing is that didn't change me. And speaking to other people, it's amazing how a doctor can tell you, you know, you're killing yourself and you still don't change. And so that's going to lead into more things I'll talk about in a little bit about your brain. But for me, two real crucial components actually sort of were my breaking points. They actually had the light go off in my head. Number one was walking on the beach in Florida one day on vacation, and I was not walking very fast, and I was winded very quickly. And I looked up and down the shore, and I saw these sort of flashes of light. And what I saw were 90-year-old people, I'm guessing, who were skinny as a rail, and they were walking like the Dickens. I've never seen people walk so fast in my life. And they were going by me like I was standing still. And I thought to myself, wow, look at the shape they're in. And I also looked at not only the physical shape, but just the outward appearance. How thin they were was kind of shocking to me, but they looked tremendous. Then as I made my way back away from the shore up to the where I was sitting, I noticed that everybody who was older, who was sitting, was very heavy. They had strollers and walkers or wheelchairs, and they were overweight or obese. And I don't know how old they were, but they did not look healthy. They looked terrible. And they could have been anywhere from 60 years old on up. I didn't see too many people over who looked like they were over 75. And so I started thinking, I started doing some research about mortality rates and life expectancies. And sure enough, I found out some different statistics. Basically, if you're 50 pounds overweight or more, your life expectancy is shortened by 3 years. If you're 100 pounds overweight or more, your life expectancy is shortened by 14 years. And this is done by Oxford University and by the National Institute of Health. So it just blew me away that those statistics were out there, that you're literally losing 3 to 14 years of your life by having an extra 50 pounds. The next part that really got me going, this was probably the final sort of straw that broke the camel's back, was I was on the phone about a month or two later to set up an appointment with a nutrition company through my wife's company, and they offered some service where you get some type of coaching. And I didn't want to do it. I was like, I wasn't interested. My mind wasn't really ready for it. And I didn't really want to admit that I had a problem. And as we were doing the Skype session just to schedule my appointment with a coach, the person who was scheduling me happened to be incredibly overweight, which I thought was strange since she was a representative of this nutrition company. But putting that aside, started talking. It came out how unhappy she was. And the thing I've discovered is that people who are overweight, they tend not to be very happy when you start digging down. I've had a lot of people sort of break down and cry as I've had conversations with them. But anyhow, we started talking. The next thing I know, both of us were crying because we were both really sad at how we were so addicted and frustrated that we couldn't get our weight under control and all the associated problems. She had high blood pressure, diabetes, all sorts of things. And so at that moment, as I was eating a piece of cheesecake, I should say, during this call to get healthy, I took the remaining piece of the cheesecake, I threw it in the garbage, I stopped crying, and I said, that's it. And from that moment forward, my life has changed.
Michael, would you say that you had a problem with eating? Was it an impulse control problem? Or what was it specifically about your diet?
For me, it was an interesting combination of the physical, where I had a bad back, but also the eating. What I didn't realize at the time was it wasn't that I overate so much, but it wasn't like I was eating well. So I might have a nice meal with fish and a salad and maybe some peas, but then I would have 2 or 3 cookies, which usually led to 4 or 5 cookies. Now, it wasn't like I ate 17 cookies in a day. I didn't. But what happens as you get older and your metabolism slows and you don't do quite as much physical work as you used to, what happens is you just slowly, in my case, slowly put on weight. And that slow weight gain is very imperceptible to your eye. I mean, you don't really see it when you look in the mirror every day, because it's not like you're putting on 12 pounds in a day. You're putting on a few ounces here, a pound. And before you know it, I mean, I was up to 275. You know, when I graduated college, I think I was 190, something like that. So that was 80 or 90 pounds put on over a course of a lifetime, but it was a very slow thing. And so my feeling was I always had a hunch that something chemically was controlling me. I felt like that I never could eat one cookie. Now, I look at my wife, and she would eat one cookie and be done, and she could handle it. I always felt like I had an addictive personality. I always remember that in my head, thinking, geez, I got to be careful with everything in life because I feel like I can get addicted very easily. And so as I started going down this path of getting healthy, sure enough, I learned a lot about addiction in the brain and how it functions. I wasn't exaggerating. It's true. It's a very dangerous thing. And my latest research I found from the CDC shows that 240 million adults age 18 and older are overweight or obese. 70% of adults. That's quite a bit of people having trouble with this.
Now, you mentioned food addiction. Today, when you go to the restaurant and everywhere, you can't escape the sugars, the additives that they put in there that really kind of increase the taste. How do you handle that if you have kind of an addictive personality and they're putting these additives in the food that make you want to eat more?
Well, it's a great question. This sort of leads me into, as I was going through this, what I did basically on day one was I researched the brain and I researched food and addiction as to what is the correlation. And I came up with all sorts of great research, but I found two particular paragraphs that I think really summarize them really well. They were put out by Scientific America. Number one, why do you overeat? And it says here, research has shown that the brain begins responding to fatty and sugary foods even before they enter our mouths. Merely seeing a desirable item excites the reward circuit. As soon as such a dish touches the tongue, taste buds send signals to various regions of the brain, which in turn responds by spewing the neurochemical dopamine. The result is an intense feeling of pleasure. Frequently overeating highly processed, sugary, carb foods saturates the brain with so much dopamine that it eventually adapts by desensitizing itself, reducing the number of cellular receptors that recognize and respond to the neurochemical. And consequently, the brain of overeaters demand a lot more sugar and fat to reach the same threshold of pleasure as they once experienced with smaller amounts of food. These people may, in fact, continue to overeat as a way of recapturing or even maintaining a sense of well-being. So that's why you overeat. You're constantly trying to recapture that feeling. I recently wrote a book called Food Washed, and the research shows the actual scientists in these food labs, these manufacturers across the world, they work on what they call a bliss point, which is the perfect combination of salt, sugar, and fat. That's what they work on day and night. So when you have that sort of burst of flavor when you first bite into something and you go, oh my God, that tastes so good, they actually design it so the taste will fade very quickly. And by having it fade very quickly, you need to go have another one to get that same burst and same feeling or recapture that same blissful feeling. And what happens, this is so cruel, they design it chemically so your brain doesn't register that you're eating and that your brain registers that it needs more. At the same time, it designs it so your stomach doesn't register that you're getting full, so you need more. And that's why you overeat, and that's why you put on weight. That is not an imagination of someone. That's not someone having no discipline. That's not someone being undisciplined in terms of what they're doing or anything negative. It is 100% designed to work against you, and you have no idea why. And that's why every single diet in the world doesn't work. That's why all these programs out there, like Weight Watchers and different programs where they manufacture food and say, eat what you want and have this cheesecake that we designed. Those are all the wrong messages. They're all the wrong messages, and they are designed basically to keep you locked in to whatever program or whatever somebody's trying to sell you. And it's incredible. And the more I've got into this over the last year, I see so many companies with supplements and pills and different foods you can buy. And it's so, I would say it's almost cruel what companies do out there, all for the name of profit. Unfortunately, these people are gambling with other people's lives. And it seems to be that 240 million Americans or more have bought into it. And they have no idea why they have. They're basically, as I call it, walking around in a daze. And they have no idea that they're even participating in this experiment.
We're talking to Michael Lepo, founder of Positive Daily Fuel. Michael, you're talking about how the places we buy our food, engineer them so we'll want to eat more. How do you combat that? How can you, as a consumer, avoid those pitfalls?
This is crucial. And this is basically, how do you break your food cravings addiction? And it basically is very similar to being a cocaine or heroin addict. I mean, it's basically like you don't even realize that you're a drug addict. And the first crucial step towards breaking free from physiological food cravings is to stop eating the addictive foods. And the research shows, just as alcoholics must abstain from alcohol to maintain sobriety, those of us with food cravings must stop eating chemically addicting foods like sweeteners, flour, and processed food. This is the only effective way to end the craving cycle. A second and an equally important step is to maintain nutritional balance by replacing addictive foods with wholesome, nourishing foods, eating nutrient-dense food with a balanced portion of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, diminishes and eventually gets rid of physical food cravings. As we establish a healthy food plan, healing begins and we rebalance our brain chemistry. The rebalancing is very much what I'm about, or I call it the rebalancing or rewiring. What I've done in the last year is I feel like I've eliminated all that negative energy food by 99.99% in my life, and I've rebalanced it to crave foods that are positive to me or give me positive fuel and energy. So I eat tons of fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and salads. I don't put, as I call it, anything that is negative or a poison into my system. And as we get further along in this interview, I'll tell you what the results have been, because it is something I never even thought of as I got into it. And it just is still shocking to me that to this day what these types of foods can do positively for your body.
And you mentioned sweeteners and other additives that manufacturers add into foods. Oftentimes when we buy these foods, we don't realize that those additives are in there. How can you spot those additives to make sure that you avoid them?
If you just live by this rule, you'll probably succeed 95% of the time. Just go to the sides of every supermarket. That's where the fruits and vegetables are. That's where the fish is. That's where your chicken is. Anything in the other 98% of the supermarket, there's a reason why it's on a shelf. It's designed to be on a shelf and last for 6 months, a year, 2 years. They have to put additives in there. They have to put all sorts of chemicals in there so the food doesn't spoil. So the other way is you look at a label. If you look at a label, and this will serve you well probably 95 out of 100 times, if you see things there that you have no idea what they are and you can't pronounce the words, it's a good chance it's not good for you. And so You know, and then you see labels that say gluten-free and low salt and low sugar, it's still not going to be good for you. Because typically when you see something that's something free or low salt, it's typically junk food. It, you know, it could be cookies or potato chips, but you're still eating potato chips and cookies. So what you're doing is you're basically training your brain to continue wanting that type of food. And so people have asked me over the last year, like, Michael, don't you feel like you're sacrificing? And how are you doing this? And I'm like, no, I'm not sacrificing. I have so many foods I eat. And by the way, I can still eat whatever I want. There's no rule saying I can't have a cookie. It's just that I know what that does to me. So why would I have one? It doesn't mean I haven't had a bite here and there, but it's just not, it isn't good for me. So I stay away from it. And so I feel like the quantity and quality of food that's out there is still, there's so many things you can eat and you'll just feel better. But the look at the label, and a label 9 out of 10 times will tell you and look at you smack in the face and say, mm-mm, shouldn't be having it.
Now, you mentioned that every once in a while you will have a cookie or something sweet. Do you feel that since you've changed your mindset that you're able to handle your food addiction better?
You know, that's a great, great question. And the answer is yes. I mean, I find that, well, geez, at least the last 6 months, my mind and brain are so strong that I kind of feel like it's invincible against any type of poison that I'd put near my body. Because, you know, when I first started, like I could feel as I was going through that I was still maybe susceptible. And so I had to be very careful. Now I don't really have to be careful because I have no interest. But if I do have a particular moment of, let's say, weakness where I feel like, oh, I want to have some cake or something, if I feel like I'm sort of in a susceptible frame of mind, I'll make sure I don't go near it because I don't want to revert back. And as I'll tell you, what has changed in my body and in my life is so amazing. The last thing I ever want to do is go back to an unhealthy lifestyle and a poor quality of life. And, you know, as my wife always says, and she's right, she says, is that cookie worth it? Is that potato chip worth it? You know, and the reality is, no, it's just not worth it. It's something that we all were kind of programmed to eat for our whole lives, and that's because we see it advertised on TV and it's what's been served in our homes. But the reality is the information that's been put out there for our lifetime has typically been put out there by food manufacturers or lobbyist groups. And so you'll see a report, chocolate is good for you. And then you find out it's put out by the chocolate manufacturers lobbying groups. So you have to be very careful where the information comes from. And the reality is this is a trillion-dollar industry with these manufacturers, and they're in business for a reason, to have you, pardon me, but keep you fed and stupid. That's really it.
Michael, as a part of Positive Daily Fuel, you call yourself the chief participant officer. That means you're participating in the program. Could you share some of your results with us?
Absolutely. You know, I started this about a year ago with no intention of making this available to the public. This was sort of my own crusade. And then a few months into it, I realized there were some dramatic things happening. And two moments in particular, I was in a pool on a cruise ship, and I was talking to a very obese man who had to be 6 feet tall, probably 400 pounds. And we were talking, and he was drinking and eating a lot. And as we were talking, and next thing I knew, he opened up, and he turns out, he told me that basically his doctor told him he's going to die within the year if he doesn't change the way he is, and he had every illness you could imagine. And as we started talking more and more, the guy broke down and started crying. He just was hopeless, and he says, I can't stop eating this type of food, and all this junk food. So that was one part. And then the second part, I was, again, at a pool on vacation, and I met these two women who were not as obese, but they were heavy. And we started talking. Before I knew it, 5-10 minutes later, they both broke down crying, saying how they can't fight these foods, how they have to eat cannolis and they have to eat pizza. So all those things kind of went into my mind. So when I created this program, I knew the brain and the addiction, the food addiction, was real. So what's happened for me in the last year is the following. At this time, as we're recording this, I'm approximately 88 pounds, 90 pounds lighter. I'm about 185 pounds at this point. I can go, when I started, if I walked to my mailbox 50 feet and back, I was exhausted. Yesterday, I walked 9 miles. And when I walk really, really fast, basically power walking. I work out twice a day with weights. Now that the weather's getting warmer here in New Jersey, I go biking 15, 20 miles a day. And the results have been wonderful. So I'm down about 90 pounds. I'm down 10 waist sizes from a 44 to a 34. And all that is great. But what I didn't expect to happen is the following. All those illnesses I talked about at the beginning of this call, all of them, without exception, are gone. Lactose intolerance is gone. Stomach issues are gone. Heartburn is gone. Body aches are gone. Snoring is gone. I had my blood work, my labs done about a month ago. There were about 31 categories. Every single category, without exception, was at the highest, best possible level. You know, like blood work, the guy said I have blood work of like an 18, 20-year-old. I mean, they were off the charts. That same blood work 2 years earlier, every category was at the opposite end or over for warnings. So all that came back insanely good. So that's all great. The thing that really blew me away is the amount of energy that I have. It's just incredible. I feel like I've discovered the fountain of youth. And my back, which was really a major cause of me putting on weight over the years. Somebody with an L4, L5 disc problem and herniated disc and all sorts of stuff I never wish on anyone. I can't say it's gone because I guess it's always going to be there. But I can tell you now, for the last year, I have not had one moment, one backache, nothing. And the topper, and I'll give you two examples that just absolutely, I'm still kind of in shock that this happened. About a month ago or so, I went out to visit one of my sons at his college. And so I worked out with some weights with him, which was really fun. And after about a 45-minute workout of some weights and some cardio, there's a basketball game opportunity to play 2-on-2. And I played basketball in high school and a little bit in college, and it was one of my favorite sports. I had not played in any kind of a pickup game in over 20, 25 years because that would throw out my back and I would not be able to move for a week. And it just decided that it's not worth it anymore because the pain is just too great. Not only did we play this 2-on-2 game, and not only did I not stretch beforehand, which is just insane. I should always stretch, but I didn't even stretch. I played for almost an hour, harder than you could imagine, with nonstop energy. I was running around like you couldn't believe. I never even got winded. In the old days, if I tried to play basketball, even a little bit in my driveway for 5 minutes with my kids, I'd be winded. So I played like that for almost an hour. Felt great. Next day, no back pain, completely gone, no ache. Now come back just a few weeks ago, I was out with my children on a quick spring break vacation for 3 days. And we were in Florida. And in one day, I did the following. I worked out twice with weights for about an hour and a half total. I did cardio for an hour. I played beach volleyball for about two and a half hours, just diving everywhere. And then the final part, that wasn't enough. I rented out a mountain bike. I'd never been on a mountain bike in my life. I figured, what's the big deal? I didn't realize that the handlebars are really far forward, which makes it very difficult for somebody with a bad back. It's in the type of position that would just trigger my back, and I would not be able to walk for a week. But I got the bike with the handlebars forward, and I went on this course. They told me it was moderate to advanced. I'd never been on a mountain bike course in my life. This course was so dangerous, so insane with dips and drops. There were signs, be careful of alligators and snakes. So you couldn't fall. If you did, who knows what would have happened. And I went on this course for about an hour. That was really difficult on your body. It really banged you all over the place. I had no idea. And so I finished that. That was all in one day. Sure enough, the next day I woke up, not an ache, not a stiffness, not a pain. Any of those things I just described, I am not walking for a week. I go into a state of depression, which is always what happens. You go into this depression when your back goes out and then you start overeating because it's very difficult to deal with, you know, for 30 years. And I did all those things. And right now I'm making plans to bike cross country the summer of 2019. My whole world has opened up. And so when I say I think I found the fountain of youth, I don't know if it's an understatement or not. I feel like I've turned back the clock. And I even feel like I'm a better version of myself than when I was 18, because now my eating is so pure that, you know, I don't ever get hungover or feel miserable or get bloated or any of those things, because I just eat really good foods that I keep feeding my body. And therefore, I just kind of keep chugging along every day. Like, it's wonderful. It's really a wonderful feeling.
And it's such a wonderful story. I mean, those results are amazing. You know, not only the weight loss, congratulations on that, but more importantly, the physical health and well-being. When you decided to go on this program, you know, you take your family along with you. Mm-hmm. Has any of these positive factors rubbed off on your family?
Thank you for asking that. I mean, there's been some moments over the last few months where, like, I literally, you know, just kind of behind the scenes just cried with so much happiness and joy. I have twin boys, or twin men, I guess they're 19, almost 19 now. And, you know, one of them was always a very superior athlete. He's a starting goalie for college, a soccer team, and he is just a phenomenal athlete. But I can even see that, like, I'm inspiring him every day where he's working out even harder, and he's doing everything in his life more, even more focused, because I'm setting a role model or example. My other son, the other twin, tremendous athletic ability, but never really was that driven in that. All of a sudden, he's telling me all these things he's going to try out for, and he's doing. And he's running 6 miles a night, and they're both like straight A's in college. And it's all these things that they were sort of touching upon before. But, you know, they've said to me over and over the years, and they were right. They said, oh, Dad, another diet, you'll be finished in 2 or 3 days. And they were right, because I had tried hundreds of times, and I basically failed every time because my brain was addicted to the wrong food. And I can just say, when I went away on this recent trip for a couple of days with my kids, I had some moments with my wife where we just kind of off to the side, we were just like crying with such joy and happiness, because we could see the positive influence I've been having with them, even more so. And it's just it's a great thing. You always want to model the right behavior for your children. And I think most parents think they do, but unfortunately, sometimes you might not be always setting the right example, and you don't even realize it. And in my case, you know, that up and down failure of my weight and all sorts of, you know, my kids coming into my bedroom and seeing me lying in my bed for 7 days in pain, you know, all these different things they got to unfortunately observe for 18 years were things I wish I never got to show them. But now to see their father saying, you know what, you can change your life around no matter what your age is. And then every time I talk to them, basically now, or text them, it's like, oh, Dad's out on the, he's running, or he's walking, or he's biking. You know, it's like, that's where they find me. That's my life now, and that's my determination. And by the way, we've gone out to eat a lot, and, you know, they're always like, hey, Dad, here, have a slice of this, or have some. I'm like, guys, no. Like, my line for pizza, because so like eating pizza a lot, they say, hey, Dad, have some pizza. I'm like, guys, I had it for 50 years. That's enough. I'm done. And so it's just life, you move forward, but it's been incredibly positive for the whole family.
So, Michael, let's talk about the Positive Daily Fuel program. Mm-hmm. So you give our listeners just a high level of what the program's like and how to participate.
Yeah, I designed it to make it as straightforward as I hope I come across here. It's basically, it's a 22-week video program, which covers all sorts of topics from the mental side, the emotional eating side, the diet side, the food addiction, the brain, nutrition, what have you, exercise. And basically, I take people through on a weekly basis for 22 weeks, exactly putting myself in their shoes and what they're facing every week, asking them to do certain things and make certain choices. Don't worry about having a bad day or a bad week. You know, it's a combination of nutrition and exercise and healthy eating and motivation and coaching and consulting. But it's not telling you that, you know, you have to have 4 ounce portions or that. It's not about that. It's about empowering the participants to think for themselves. I believe every person out there, they're smart enough to know that a chip is not good for you and an apple is. They don't need me to tell them that. They don't need me to send them an exact food list every day. So I really try to empower them, because I'm not looking to have them on this program for the next 20 years. I'm not looking to have them buy my specially designed food. What I'm trying to do is help them basically become independent and break sort of the bondage that they've been under and the haze and the daze in their brain. And so I do that through this 22-week program. They can go to my website, which is Positive Daily Fuel, and the ordering instructions are in there, and they can start it instantly. You know, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who are doing it, and it's working. It's working for other people. It's a wonderful feeling, and it's something that, you know, I hope if they're having an issue, that's something they'll consider.
Michael, do you have any special incentives for our listeners to join the Positive Daily Fuel program?
Yeah, absolutely. If they go to the website, Positive Daily Fuel, and where it shows ordering or checkout, just go there upon checkout. Just put in the coupon code PAN, which is for the Patient Activation Network. So just type in basically PAN, P-A-N, and $100 will come off the program price.
Michael, that's great. I really appreciate you offering that incentive for our listeners. And anybody that's listening at home, please go to our website. We're going to have all the links and resources available there, so you can get linked directly to Michael's site and get that coupon code as well. Michael, as we're getting towards the end of the program, Do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, the main thought I have is no matter what your situation is right now, I don't care, even if you're thin or not, if you find yourself having trouble with the way food seems to be controlling you, which you're not alone, as I said, I just want you to know that there is a way to get better. And the very first thing you need to do, which is a hard step, is look in the mirror and admit to yourself that you have a problem. And once you do that, believe it or not, it gets a lot easier. You really just have to admit that there is an issue and you need to make changes. And as soon as you can get past that hurdle, life gets easier. And, as I said, I'm out there. If you're looking for a source of coaching and motivation and a program, I know I can help you.
Thank you, Michael. We really appreciate you sharing your personal story. I know that I've learned a lot today about food addiction and the impact that it can have on your overall health. So thank you so much for joining the show today.
Matt, my pleasure. Thank you.
He's Michael Lepo, founder, president, and chief participant officer of Positive Daily Fuel. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.